Thank you, Joan. Right, are we ready for God's word this morning? Yeah, you sound excited.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, we're in the middle of our, we're in the middle of our abundant series. And the premise behind this series is that as Christians, we can sometimes have a thinking or a thought that God only wants us to have just enough. And I shared with you last week that the premise behind that is the manna that God gave the Israelites out in the desert, that they could gather just enough for the day, and if they gathered anything more than that, then it all got all rotten and decayed. And I said we come with that attitude that God sort of will just meet our limits, and we can have that in our prayers as we pray, you know, just God, if you would just come right now, and we use the word just as a binding word. But I contrasted that with the story of the loaves and the fishes, where Jesus feeds the multitudes, and he does so with just a couple of loaves of bread and fishes. But one of the things that we miss at the end of the story is that there are baskets and baskets left over for no particular reason. And it has me wondering that when we come to God in prayer, maybe we are praying in a manna type of way instead of praying in a baskets type of way, where we should be asking God for more than enough so that we can operate out of his abundance instead of operating out of scarcity, out of our own tank, but his. And so we're going to be tackling this morning God's abundant love for us, and we've been singing it in the Psalms, haven't we? Laura pointed out quite nicely in the introduction to Reckless Love how God Jesus has parables of his love for us, that he will leave the 99 to go and find the one that was lost. He will search for us. And if we've been traveling with God long enough, we know that God has a desire and shows us that he constantly wants to draw us back into his presence. I remember that when I started to just engage with God, that God was drawing me into his presence time and time again. And whenever I've drifted away, there seems to be this drawing that God has to draw me back deeper into his presence, deeper into his love. And I'm sure that if you've been walking with Jesus, you would have felt that in your life too. That every time you go just a little bit astray, you get a little bit caught up in unhelpful things where your attention has been gathered by something else other than my God, that you get this gentle tap on the shoulder saying, "Oi, what are you doing? Is it just me? Oi, what are you doing? Is that the best thing for you? Is that honoring me?" And you get this gentle drawing back into God's love and God's presence again. And next week we're going to be tackling forgiveness, and we're going to be looking at how that all plays out. But today I want to just work on this whole concept of God's love for us. And Scripture is really quite clear that God's love for us is immense. The most famous verse in the Bible is all about God's love. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And so all the way through Scripture, we see that nothing can separate us from his love, that it is abundant there for us. So I wonder why we struggle so much to accept this amazing love that God has for us. If God's love truly is so abundant that it keeps on drawing us back in, that God's love can, nothing can separate us from us, that he will chase us down if we go away, why is it then that we struggle so much with it? Because I believe that what we're designed to do is to be people of God who are connected with the Father and therefore can use his love to love the world. It's kind of like when you're, I'm going to say that you're iPads now, okay? Just bear with me if you don't know technology. An iPad you can use for a certain amount of time before it runs out of battery. And if you're a gamer, that happens a little bit quicker than you'd like. And you can sit there and you can play with it, and then the battery will run out, and then it's depleted and you have to plug it back in. And I think that as Christians, sometimes we operate like that. We come to church, we feel good, and then our battery runs out during the week. And then we go, I'm just feeling flat. But one thing I've learned is that you can play games on your iPad as long as you like if you have the power plugged in. And it just stays at 100% all the time. And I think as Christians, that's what we're meant to be. We're meant to have God's power plugged into us so we're always in abundance in how we give it out to other people. That we're not meant to be going through this cycle of draining ourselves and then going, oh, God, can you just fill me up a little bit? But that we're actually connected with the God of love, and his love flows through us in such a way, such an abundant way, that we can love people that other people can't love, that we can show God's love in ways that other people can't show it, because we have this constant and abundant source. So I wonder why we struggle to be in that flow, to be in that love that God has for us. Well, I think it becomes because at times we get a disconnect between our head and our heart. And when our head and our heart are not in alignment, then we can stop the flow of God's love operating through us. Because if we are concentrating, we have a blockage on one or the other of them, then we can get into a trouble. So if we have a blockage in our heart, we've got our emotional walls built up, and we're not allowing other people's love or God's love to come in, we will hear ourselves saying things like this: I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for God's love. God couldn't love someone like me. God doesn't know what I've done, even though he does. God surely can't help me because I'm different from everybody else. When there's a disconnect with the heart, you will start seeing yourself use that kind of language. If there's a disconnect with the head, then you will start saying, I've got to try harder. I've just got to do more. Actually, I think I got that the wrong way around, now that I'm thinking about it. So when we have this disconnect between the heart and the head, there is a tension that happens within us. And that can cause us to be in a position where we're unable to act because we're not sure of the love of God in our lives. See, we can know that God loves us in our head, but unless it comes out of our heart, then we have some stumbling block. We can know that God loves us in our heart, but unless we know how to enact it, then we have a stumbling block. Because how we have that disconnect between our head and our heart reflects how we treat others. If we have a disconnect in our heart, then we'll get to the point where we will judge other people for not living up to a standard that we think that they should live up to. If we have a disconnect with in our heart, we just say, you know what, those poor people should be able to get rich if they just work hard. You heard that? If we have a disconnect with our heart, then we just say, you know what, they should just be able to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Why are they living the way that they do? Why are they making the choices? Don't they see that that's not good for them? Don't they see that that's wrong? Don't they see that they should be better than that? We have a disconnect of the heart, and come all from the head. It all comes out of judgment. But if we have all heart and no head, we start to allow ourselves to go, you know what, I'm just going to accept people for who they are, which sounds great on the outside, but I don't want them to change. I don't want them to grow. I don't want them to be different. I don't want them to explore the depths of God's love. They can just be who they are. That's fine. And that's a great heart attitude, but it's a disconnect from the head. But what we see, if we can get our head and our heart connected together and get them both on the same page, we can start to enable ourselves to embody and to flow through the love of God, where we want the very best for people. We want to accept people, but we want to see them grow and to be transformed by the love of God. Because the love of God that comes to you and me is a transformational power. The love of God that comes to you and me is not the love that leaves us just where we are. The love of God comes to us and it says, I see you in your mess. I see you in your brokenness. I see you where you are, and I'm going to do something about it. And so the love of God is transformative. Now we're going to open up Ephesians chapter 2. So if you've got your devices, you can pull them out. It will be up on the screen. And we're going from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, if you're listening at home. And so it says this: as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So what's he saying here? You used to live under a different kind of spirit than God's spirit. You used to be trapped in that world. You used to live as if there was no God. You used to follow the ways that everybody else followed. And you were influenced by a spiritual force that was not of God's making. Well, not of God's design. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying and craving of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. Thanks. But because of his great love for us, let that sink in, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Jesus Christ. So here we have this picture of us once being trapped, once being of the world, once being under the influence of the evil one, once being people who just craved after whatever we craved after. And it says, because of God's great love, he pulls us out of that mire, as the psalmist says, the muck, the mud. He pulls us out and he cleans us off and he renews us and transforms us by his spirit and grace. And it says he even then elevates us up to be with Christ. And he does this in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the love of God comes to us to rescue us. It comes to pull us out of the mud. It comes to dust us off and to cleanse us. It comes to transform us so that we can be about the good work and the purposes of God in this world. He cleanses our hearts. He renews our souls. That's what the love of God does. And so if we have a disconnect in our heart, we need to ask God to come in and renew our heart, to cleanse our heart, to be at, to enable it to be flesh again. The scripture says that sometimes we can get hearts of stone, but it is by the grace of God that it can become flesh again. And if, and in Romans it says, you know, be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And so if we have a disconnect in our mind, the gospel writers would say, come and enable God to transform and renew your mind. And so the transformational, abundant love of God comes to transform us from what we were into what he needs us to be. Because God doesn't want us to stay trapped. He doesn't want us to stay lost. He doesn't want us to stay where we are in confusion and pain and anguish. God came so that we can be at peace, so that we can love, and so that we can minister to others. That's why Jesus spent so much time healing people in the Gospels. He did it because he wanted people to be free. He cast out evil spirits out of people because he didn't want people to be trapped. Because his love for them, his compassion for them, would not enable them to stay that way. Even death was in his sights. If you read John's Gospel and the account of Lazarus, even death is as he had compassion and he wept and then he raised Lazarus from the dead. God's love cannot, will not leave us where we are. God's love will always grow us, always want the best for us, always bring us into a new reality for his good works and purpose. And sometimes we can get confused in that when God wants to correct us or refine us or tell us off. We can get confused with that when things are going a little bit pear-shaped in our life and we can say, God, are you there? What's going on? But Scripture is really clear that the love of God includes discipline. It includes God correcting us. You can read it in Proverbs 3:2. You can read it in Hebrews 12:6. It says, who God loves, he corrects. And so when we come to God's abundant love, we're going to take his style of love with us. A love that never gives up. A love that always wants to see people move out of darkness into the light. A love that always wants to see people healed and whole. A love that always wants to generate goodness wherever it is. Because we can tell ourselves that God doesn't care. And we can tell ourselves that we need to earn God's love. But if we're having that kind of self-talk, then it indicates either our head or our heart is out of sync. Because the truth about God's love is significant. And if we allow ourselves to connect our head and our heart and walk into that truth, then that abundance of love will flow through us, even in the most testing times. Every time there comes an issue within my life, I need to stop and pause and pray and say, God, where is your wisdom in this situation? How do you want me to love in this situation? How do I guard my heart from not being judgmental? How do I enter into this love so that I'm not loving people out of begrudgment, but I'm loving people out of your truth. And God does a work in my heart and in my head, and he will tell me some truths that I failed to believe, and he will renew my heart in such a way that enables his love then to burst through. Because this is the truth about God's love, that it's a gift. You can't earn it. The truth about God's love is that you've done nothing to earn it. It is simply there for you because he loves you. And so your gift of love should have no price tag to it. His love is a gift. The truth is that his love rescues. It pulls people out of darkness. And so what we do with people should help people move and grow and to have a revelation of God's love. God's love rescues. It doesn't have any requirement. It just says, if you want to be rescued, I'll rescue you. God's love is great. It has no limit to it. You can't sink a well and get to the bottom of God's love. You'll never run out. It doesn't have an end point. It continues and will continue to be able to refill us and regenerate us and renew us. Ephesians 3:18-19 says this. May have power together with all God's holy people. This is Paul saying to his people, God's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. Next one. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love is abundant. It's there for you and for me to draw upon. It's there for you and me to draw upon so that we can be transformed. It's there for us to draw upon so we can have the peace and the love and the goodness that God has for us. But I want to encourage you that it's there for you to make a difference in the world. If you go back to verse 10, it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared for in advance for us. So God's love is abundant to us, but it is not just for us to sit upon. It's not for us just to come and sit on a Sunday and go, that's nice. It is there for us to outwork and to pass on in every sphere of our life. And people notice when you show them the love that comes from God. When you show them that you want to be you want them to be more, that you want to see God bring them up out of the muck and into a good place. So I'm wondering this morning, is there a bit of a disconnect between your head and your heart when it comes to God's love? Are you saying to yourself, I'm not good enough? Are you saying that you have to work hard to enter into his love? Is there sin that's in your life that you can't seem to get rid of and you're speaking down upon yourself all the time because of it? Is there a disconnect between your head and your heart? because God doesn't want it there. God wants you to enter into his fullness, enter into his love, enter into his grace. And so we've got to allow that transformation between his head, our head and our heart to take place. And the only way that we can genuinely do that is to acknowledge it and bring it before our loving God and ask him to do a work in us. Because the whole of this Ephesians passage is about what God does, not what we do. The whole of this Ephesians passage is about accepting God's gift, God's grace, God's love, not trying to earn it, not trying to work towards it, but to accept it. And when you've got a disconnect between your head and your heart and how God loves you, the only way that that disconnect is going to stop and you're going to come into alignment is if you ask God to do it, to renew your mind and to cleanse your heart. So that's what we're going to do right now. So if you'd like to stand to your feet, if you're able. And if you have a disconnect in your head or your heart, and you'd like to experience God's love in a fresh way, a new way, or a different way, then simply all I want you to do is put your hands out in front of you like you're receiving a gift, because that's what it is. And we're going to pray together. So if you're in that situation, just put your hands out in front of you and say, God, I just acknowledge that I've got a disconnect between my head and my heart. That love that you have for me is not flowing through me. There's a blockage somewhere inside of me. And let's pray together. Loving God, I thank you for this family that you have given us. Those people on the right and the left of us, those people that we call brothers and sisters. And Holy God, we come before you now as your people. And we're saying, God, there's something not right here between my head and my heart. Come, Holy Spirit, and move amongst us. Renew my mind, Lord, and renew my heart so that I can have your love and your grace flow through me. Forgive us, Lord, if we have put other things in front of you. Forgive us, Lord, if we have made other things a greater priority other than you. But we're here, Lord, and we want to say sorry, and we want to hold our hands out and say, God, I'm ready again to receive your gift of love. Flow it through me, throw it through us, and embrace us and encourage us. For you are God and you love us. And we thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from your love. There is nowhere we can hide from your presence, that you are constantly calling us back to yourself. And here we are, Lord, saying, use me to share your love with this world. So Holy Spirit, come and move in our heads, in our hearts, for the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. Stay standing as we're going to sing.